If you could join me in a prayer. Gracious Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're with us today and that we are here to celebrate your goodness and mercy and love. And we're here to hear from your word and to know that as we open our eyes and open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us today, that something amazing is going to happen and that you're going to speak with us, you're going to speak to us, you're going to use each other. We're going to use each other today, glad to hear a message from you. And we thank you that your word is true. And as we look at it and as we believe it and as we just open our eyes to hear from you, we are going to be blessed. And so thank you for this time this morning, Lord, and we offer it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last book, the last verse of the Apostle John's Gospel, he writes this. He says, Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. I think that verse is a great reminder to us this morning that we only have a very small fraction of the events that took place in Jesus' life. And from what we have, though, even the verses that we have that record the events of his life, I believe that Jesus lived the most attractive life of anyone who has ever walked the planet Earth. He pointed to God's goodness and God's wisdom wherever he went. And in one place, several places, he said, if you've seen me, you're seeing God. You're seeing the Father. He experienced incredibly difficult people, so difficult, in fact, that they were people who wanted to get rid of him. They were out to get him. Of course, he died, and he rose from the dead. And that's why we're here this morning, because no one else has ever done that before. And in every one of his miracles, in every one of his conversations, in every one of his teachings, there is something there for you and for me. And over these next 5 weeks, we're going to be starting a series where we take a look at five people who had different encounters with Jesus. And certainly they learned, but I believe there's something for each of us in every single one of those encounters today. And today we're going to look at two encounters, both involving Simon Peter. His first name, when we first meet him, his name was Simon. And they were encounters that are going to answer the questions, how do we get faith? And the questions then, if we have faith, then what do we do with it? How do we live out our faith? And so we're going to begin with a passage from Luke chapter 5. And we're not going to read the whole thing at once. We're going to just read bits and pieces as we go through it, just to kind of follow it through verse by verse this morning. So we begin in verse 1 of Luke chapter 5. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and they were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat, Jesus sat in the boat, and taught the crowds from there. The title of the first part of our discussion this morning is Jesus Gets Into Our Boat. Jesus Gets Into Our Boat. This is about how Jesus came into Simon Peter's life. And we're going to go through four stages of how that took place in the life of Peter. And maybe you can relate to Peter this morning. Or maybe it's happened differently for you. Or maybe it's yet to happen. And God's going to work on your heart this morning. The first phase for Peter was there was this initial curiosity phase. Peter lets Jesus take him fishing. In the next verse that comes up, he says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let your nets down to catch some fish. Somehow Peter is intrigued by Jesus. And actually, as I was looking at this passage, I think this is the first miracle in this passage, because you see, Peter is a fisherman, and he'd been out all night without catching anything. He's probably not in a very good mood, is he? Probably not in a very good mood. And fishermen are pretty prideful about themselves, that I know where the fish is, and if I can't find them, nobody can. And somehow, he swallows his pride, and he goes out again with Jesus. That's the first miracle. That's the first miracle of the day. So notice Peter doesn't have faith yet. This is pre-faith in Peter. He's just curious about this guy who claims to know where the fish are. I mean, what could be more practical than that? So he wants to check him out. So notice what Jesus is doing here, though. Jesus is the one who goes to the lake. Jesus is the one who goes to the Sea of Galilee. He is pursuing Peter. He meets him where he is. He meets him at his job. He meets him at his job site around Peter's interests. Jesus is pursuing a friendship with Peter, a relationship with him. I think this initial curiosity phase happens in our life too. Sometimes people come to church because they're curious. They want to check out Jesus. They want to check out Christianity. They want to check out people who claim to follow Jesus. But honestly, most of the time, curiosities are sparked through friendships, aren't they? Friendships with people in your neighborhood, people at work, people at school, people at the gym, people in another activity. And people are thinking, wow, I hear Bill talking about church. I wonder why he goes. Or Rhonda sure held her temper in that workplace, very volatile situation. I wonder how that happened. I certainly couldn't have done that. Or Michelle has such a willing spirit about her at work. Or John does not say a mean thing or gossip when other people, other students around at school are just ripping into people. And John seems to just kind of walk away. You see, people close to us see us living. Jesus said it this way. He says, "You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. When people see you, they're wanting to see me. And God uses us to spark interest and curiosity in people's lives. And then in Peter's case, right after the initial curiosity phase, there was this defining moment. And we read about that defining moment in verses 5 through 7. Peter said, "We worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Now, a boatload of fish is a defining moment for Peter. No doubt about it. This is the place where Jesus gets his attention. And now it's more than just curiosity. This can happen to us in lots of different ways. It could happen when I might be having a crisis in my life and I realize whatever I'm doing with my own wisdom isn't working. And I sort of hit my knees with a skid because I realize that I need somebody's help and maybe God can help. Your defining moment might be through a verse from the Bible. It could be a phrase from a song. It could be a discussion that you have with some people that you know are Christians, or maybe a discussion time you've been invited to youth group and there's an interesting discussion that's going on, or it could even be, God forbid, a Sunday morning message that sparks interest, something that just connects with you. It could be that an experience with a person that is in need, somebody around you that you realize, wow, I need to help them. And as you're doing that, it just hits you hard how blessed you are and how it seems like you're just convicted that, you know, I've just been living for myself. I've pretty much just been living for myself. I've been pretty selfish. And we realize it just makes so much more sense to be a part of something bigger than just me. Maybe you're one of those people who become interested in Jesus because you've decided, like several of the authors that I've read before, like C.S. Lewis or Lee Strobel or Josh McDowell, that you were at one time convinced that faith made no sense whatsoever. Well, people that have faith are people that put their brains on a shelf. It just doesn't come out that way. These three authors discovered after thorough investigation that, in fact, it does make sense. And there is evidence that, as one author said, evidence that demands a verdict. Evidence that Jesus is who he says he is. Or maybe you've just had an encounter where you've just been sort of like the waves on the sea just washed over you and you've just felt God's unconditional love in your life and you're overcome with just a sense of how good God is. I don't know what it is, what your defining moment is. We could probably name a lot more this morning, but I know people who have had, as I was writing those all out, I know people in our congregation and people in my life who have had every single one of those and several on some of them. That God got their attention through some sort of a defining moment in their life. When Peter sees this fish, this boatload of fish, this incredible miracle, he moves into kind of his next phase. And maybe you've gone through this one too. The next phase, I call it fearful doubt. Fearful doubt. This is where Peter recognizes who Jesus is. He recognizes Jesus. It comes in verses 8 and 9. It says, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, O Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. You see, when we really recognize Jesus, we are recognizing holiness. We're recognizing God himself. We become very aware that we don't measure up. In the Bible, when God came to Isaiah and called him to serve him, Isaiah's first response was very similar to this. He says, woe is me, I am a sinful man. I have unclean lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. If you've ever felt this unworthiness, that's good. That's a good thing. We need to know that God is God and we're not. God is God and we're not. But you notice how Jesus responds to Peter right away. The first thing he says to him in verse 10 is, don't be afraid, Peter. Don't be afraid. Peter, it's not about who you are. It's about who God is. God wants to get close to you, Peter. God came to Peter that day through Jesus, and he assures Peter that he does not need to fear. And then he gives him a purpose. In the following verse, he says, in verse 10, he says, from now on, he says, you'll be fishing for people. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. You see, Peter got it. And that leads us to the last phase of Peter's receiving faith from God is called trusting faith. Peter actually follows Jesus. As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus, Peter and the folks around him. Peter followed Jesus. He trusted Jesus, even with the bad stuff in his life. He trusted him to forgive him for his past. He trusted him to reassure him that his love was unconditional and it was not based on anything that he had done. And now Peter said, I want to join you, Jesus. I certainly don't understand everything about you. But you say you've got a place for me in your mission. From now on, I want to help people find this same sort of life. I want to help people find a relationship with you. This is how Jesus entered into Peter's boat. Jesus got into Peter's boat. He met Peter at his workplace. Now, Jesus uses lots of different ways to connect with us. My story is very different from Peter's. I was certainly not a fisherman. I grew up in a Christian family, and from as early as I can remember, my parents taught me about Jesus, and we prayed together. We read the little kid's Bible together. I remember that as a little kid. We did church together, and we served together. I was baptized when I was about a month old. I honestly don't remember a thing. I can't honestly remember a time when I didn't know that Jesus loved me and that I trusted and I loved him back. Now, that's not to say that I always followed him. My high school years and college years were years of lots of different peaks and valleys in that, in my relationship with God. I knew God was there, but I had decided that I needed to follow some other directions, some other pathways, where I was going to try to make sure that people liked me, and I was trying to fit into the crowd, and I was trying to do kind of life as the culture was directing it, my high school culture or my college culture. And then through some new friends that I met the summer before my senior year in college, before my graduation year from college, when I knew that I was about to graduate and there were some big decisions coming up about what I was going to do for the future, God got my attention simply through these new friendships. My discovery was that where before I thought that it only made sense for my parents to follow Jesus, I discovered that it made sense for me too. And my senior year and my years afterward became very different. See, the question is not how or when so much. The question is very simple. Is he in your boat today? Is he in your life today? Is he in the driver's seat? Does he have the tiller of the boat? Is he the one that directing your life? If that's a question that you have yet to answer, then I would like Pastor Michael and I, or somebody around you this morning I know, would like to help you talk through that. Because that's the most important question you'll ever answer in your whole life, is where is Jesus in your life? But here's the truth about this new faith. If Jesus has come into your boat, once he is in your boat, the next thing Jesus is going to try to challenge you to do is to get out of the boat. It's just the way he works. He did it with Peter. From the very beginning, he told Peter he was going to fish for people. And then I want you to watch this scene from the movie Son of God that I think describes this next section.
Why did he walk away? Just when we're getting strong.
Surely a Messiah wouldn't leave us like this. A Messiah should be a warrior, a conqueror like David.
Judas, force is not the way.
So tell me what the way of Messiah is.
He's different.
But Mary, what if he's not the one? We're risking our lives. For what?
Thomas! He has shown us his power. We must have faith in him.
He said he'd meet us on the other side. Let's go!
Thank you.
Thomas! It's Jesus! He is the Messiah.
Peter.
Jesus walked on the water. What an amazing miracle that was. The disciples at first thought it was a ghost, but it was Jesus. Jesus never did any miracles just to show off. There was always an amazing teaching. There was always a teaching as a part of every miracle. As I went back to read this event that we just saw on the video from Matthew 14, I see two very different kinds of practical faith, the get-out-of-the-boat kind of faith that Jesus was teaching us. First of all, faith to step out onto the water. From Matthew 14, we read, "But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage, I am here." Then Jesus called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Peter was a veteran of the sea. He'd been in lots of storms on the Sea of Galilee. He knew about the last thing you do when you're in a storm is get out of the boat. The boat is your place of security. Yet Jesus said, "Come, keep your eyes on me." What does it look like when Jesus calls us to get out of our boat? Well, I thought of a couple different ways that that could be happening to us today. First one is, maybe you hear us talking a lot about going down to feed the homeless at the Chris Becker dining room, or maybe going down to Mexico in the future to help build a house. And maybe you have a voice inside of you saying, "Go for it. Go for it. This is a good thing." And then you're thinking, "Wow, I'd much rather stay home at the comfort of my own home rather than take a risk like that." The voice that you're hearing, the first one, could be Jesus saying, "Get out of the boat. Keep your eyes on me. Come." Or maybe getting out of the boat looks like this for you. Maybe it has to do with your relationships. Maybe you have a fight going on with a family member or a friend or even somebody that you're working with. And as you think about it, both of you are thinking the other person's at fault. And yet, down deep, you know that both of you are at fault. And the safe place is to wait for the other person to come to you rather than to take the initiative to go and make things right. No one likes those uneasy first words, do they? And that's what you usually end up doing. But you read the scriptures and you read Jesus saying that when a relationship is broken, you go and get it right. Get out of the boat. Keep your eyes on me. You see, as Peter walked on the water, every step was a step of faith. Was he going to focus on the waves? Or was he going to keep his eyes on Jesus? And that's the same question for each of us every single day. Eyes on Jesus or eyes on our circumstances? Is there a situation coming to mind where Jesus is calling you to get out of the boat? Some place where you're tempted to keep your eye, to take your eyes off of him, but you know that he's calling you to keep your eyes on him as you take the steps. There's another kind of faith that's in this passage too that I think is also a very real and practical kind of faith too. It's the faith to ask for help when you're sinking. The faith to ask for help when you're sinking. You see, we always like to hear stories when people trust God and they just sort of run across the water, don't we? They just seem like they never have any problems at all. They just float right across the water. But the truth is, most of us get wet sometime in our life. Most of us get wet. These verses kind of describe that for Peter. It says, but when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped and the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. See, Peter starts this walk and it all seems so good, but as the old songwriter says, he gets that sinking feeling. He gets that sinking feeling. His eyes go to the waves. What am I doing here? This is not working out the way I thought it would. And then all of a sudden he feels, I'm going down. And all of a sudden we're in way over our heads. Now Peter could have said, you know, I have to get out of this myself. He could have worried about what the other disciples would think. Wow, what a loser Peter is. Actually, none of them got out of the boat, did they? But he's facing failure. And many of us have the idea that the life of faith means that we'll never fail. We'll never fail at anything. We love it when we're cruising across the waves and we're kind of leaving a wake behind us. It feels good. It feels good. We're growing. Good things are happening. And we think, wow, do I have faith or what? But we're human and failure happens. And when we do get wet, we want to run away so that no one will ever see us wet. And as a friend, if a friend comes up to us and sees us drenched and asks the question, are you okay? My response is, as I'm dripping in front of him, never been better. Never been better. That's called pride, isn't it? That's the pride part of us. Peter had the faith to reach out for Jesus' hand, though, that this is what Jesus, and this is what Jesus wants some of us to be doing this morning. Maybe we've endured a recent failure, or maybe it's been a while ago. You might be thinking that Jesus doesn't want anything to do with you, that you have to carry this for the rest of your life all alone. You see, we need to ask Jesus for help. It seems so intuitive, but if our pride gets in the way, it's sometimes the last place we'll go, because he wants to bring us to a place where we can begin healing and we can begin drying out. And honestly, that's what the church is for. That's what our church is for. It was never meant to be a museum for perfect people. Sometimes we have that misconception, but it's a hospital for healing and then getting us back out onto the waves. So where are you today? Can you relate to Peter in anything that he went through? Is Jesus calling you to step out of the boat? Is Jesus calling you to use your faith? Is he calling you to be a leader, maybe, in some area? Or maybe you've just experienced a failure and you're attempting to heal on your own power. Is Jesus calling you to just reach out your hand and there are friends around you who want to walk with you, who want to be there for you? Jesus gets into our boats. That's the first part of faith. That's the most important thing that could ever happen to us. This is about trusting our lives to Him. It's not about answering all the questions. It's simply asking Jesus to be in our lives. And then when that happens, Jesus will get us out of our boat. And this is trusting Him to guide us through all the storms of life. And my friends, that's just a tidbit of what faith is about. Getting into our boat and getting us out of our boat. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank You so much for the invitation to trust You with our lives. And there might be somebody here this morning who wants to trust You, has that initial curiosity. And God, that they want to trust You with their life. And I pray that this morning, God, that they would not go away from here without talking to one of us, talking to someone, or at least saying a prayer to You that says, Jesus, as best I know how, I let You into my life. And then, Lord, we know that there are storms in our life. There are places where we're being challenged all the time. And we are so thankful for the faith that You give us to, as we get out of the boat, that You will help us navigate whatever we're going through. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a place where we're being challenged to serve, a change in our life. God, use our time this morning. Use these scriptures to speak to us all week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.